You're with Julian on the Brown Note and a review of what is probably now the most watched film in Netflix history, which is quite stunning given what kind of film it is. I have been praising Adam McKay for a long time now, and I believe with this film he has now become the most important director in America. He directed comedies and shifted into this highly politicized filmmaking world. But the important thing is, all of the Will Ferrell comedies he directed were the best Will Ferrell comedies. Anchorman, Talladega Nights, Step Brothers, and then he did The Other Guys, which was fantastic. Anchorman 2 was hit and miss, but since then he's done a run of three films which I have, I'm reviewing the last of those now, but I gave The Big Short my film of the year and a 9.5 out of 10, and I think it was in my top five films of the whole decade. Underrated, even though it won an Oscar. Vice was, why the guy won for Freddie Mercury's acting when Christian Bale's performance was just amazing in Vice. That was an incredible film. He has returned with Don't Look Up, which is his, each film he's made, The Big Short kept it virtually serious whilst acknowledging the lunacy of the world that we live in, with a lot of comedic flourishes, but very much hewing close to the bone. He pushed it a bit further out with Vice, losing some critics, and he's just gone full hog with Don't Look Up. Don't Look Up is an allegory of the reaction to the climate crisis by the public, the media, and our politicians. And it doesn't present a very warm look at the world. It has been compared to Idiocracy, the famed film that shows the Trump era and the Boris Johnson era and the Scott Morrison era, where people will vote for the most moronic, idiotic bully they can find because they're stupid. And there isn't really another reason. And they've got to that stage by being relentlessly brainwashed their whole lives by a very right-leaning media, which promotes obsession with celebrity above substance, which promotes soundbite over in-depth analysis, which promotes non-appraisal of a politician's, you know, views or substance alongside what they can get away with. How someone like Scott Morrison, Boris Johnson, or Donald Trump ended up leading the Western world. This time we get Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence, which is a pretty big A-list ticket to have at the front of your film. And I have a suspicion that that may have been one of the driving forces in the fact that it's clocked over 260 million hours on Netflix in the last 20 days. They are scientists working in a laboratory with a big electromagnetic telescope thing looking into space. And Jennifer Lawrence discovers a massive comet. And Leonardo DiCaprio, who's the head of the Enterprise, works out that it is, in fact, definitely going to hit Earth. Absolutely, definitely. Or as they say, 99.8-something%, which is then relayed back to them by the media as, well, you said definitely. It's not definite. So they then engage in this horrific trial by combat with first a wonderful Meryl Streep. The cast in this film is just ridiculous. Meryl Streep is the President of the United States. One of the things I like Adam McKay doing here is he doesn't make her Trump. For a start, she's far too smart. He doesn't go for the Trump angle until the very end, and I think that's important. It would have really crucified this film had it been a Trump-like character. She is a little bit more like Hillary Clinton, I would say. And that's the way it came across to me. And the response I get from the White House is basically, we've got the midterms coming up. They present them with a near 100% certainty that all life on Earth will be extinguished in 6 months' time, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. And they basically say, yeah, but we've got the midterms coming up. So they're advised to go to the media and blow it all out. At which point the White House eventually comes on board and they start formulating plans along the way in dealing with this impending disaster of biblical proportions. They run the gamut of daytime TV, where Leo's character is beguiled by an astonishingly beautiful and really one of many great performances, Kate Blanchett, who presents herself as a sort of cross between a Fox News and a Today host. And she sort of seduces him because she gets caught up in the whole thing. Jennifer Lawrence's character has her "I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take this anymore" moment and is sidelined and taken out of the game. She sort of ends up back in her hometown and everyone hates her, and she becomes known as the woman that predicted the woman that says we're all going to die. Whereas Leo is co-opted into becoming this, you know, celebrity scientist where everyone loves him and so on. And they try and co-opt events, and at the midway, they've got this Armageddon style, we're going to blow this meteor up. In comes Mark Rylance, another great performance in this film as a particularly terrifying version of today's billionaires who wants to co-opt every aspect of this into, you know, he wants to mine the thing. He wants it to land on Earth so they can mine it for the minerals that build smartphones and so on. And he pretty much causes the end of humanity himself. So this has polarized critics. And one of the taglines is that critics are turning their noses up at this film because they are one of the people that is being attacked by it. I would say more true would be a lot of critics and the public are turning their noses up at the film because the public is also. Half the public are square in the sights of this film and they don't like it. I'm not. I'm not one of you. It works on the notion that we knew that climate change was going to change our world and we did nothing about it because we've become this apathetic, vapid, celebrity-obsessed public that have been brainwashed by these incredibly rich people into allowing them to keep raping and pillaging the earth, and they won't. They would rather that all of humanity died than lose some money without understanding that the ramifications of that is that they would lose all their money. But they can't. It's in their DNA to stop losing money. So it's taken so long for action on climate change that when we had the opportunity to do something 30, 40 years ago when the Murdoch press and every politician was screaming that it was a conspiracy, we did take no action. And after Jennifer Lawrence has her "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore," Leo does. He has an even bigger one, where he screams like that. One of the films that it's most like, I guess in a way, is Network, where it pulls the lid off news, American news channels in the 1970s. And the famous sequence where the newsreader loses it on air and says, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." Here, Leo goes into this whole notion of we can't even agree on basic facts. What are we? What have we become? I'd like to say at this stage that any equilibrium here is garbage. One side of the world is wrong and the enemy, and they have always been wrong. And they are today. They're our enemy. Because the people that opposed action on climate change weren't. They had all the evidence. They chose willfully not to believe it. The same with the people that vote for some of the most onerous politicians. They have all the information. They're deliberately doing this. Maybe they have been brainwashed their whole life, but they are the enemy. They don't deserve to be included as people that are, you know, just have a different of opinion. Their opinion's wrong. And and we should be fighting these people, not actually saying, well, the other side's so polarized too. Yeah, because we're right. And being right is important in this issue when it involves the end of livable life on this planet. You're wrong. So it's pissed off a lot of people because it is unflinching. It doesn't involve subtlety. It is flawed and not every punch it throws lands. But it's like a klaxon going off. And it is so refreshing to see a film that is so acidic, so unapologetic, that doesn't try and find a middle ground. There's no middle ground. There's half the world is absolute morons that vote for idiots because they're brainwashed and believe ridiculous things about the world that are in opposition to science. So we don't give these people credit. But I thought this was an amazing film. Jonah Hill shows up again. Really good performance by him. Timothy Chalamet isn't as bad as I've sometimes found. Ariana Grande, I thought, was wonderful in this film. What's your problem with Manatees, Arianne? She has a few scenes where she really amps up being this horrifically vapid pop star and nails it. And obviously doesn't care too much about, you know, the fact that she's crapping on her projection to the public doing it. I thought it was exciting at times and infuriating often as we try and navigate our way through the way that the world looks at celebrity and science and the way that the public does too. It's not just about the media and politicians. It is also about the public. And a lot of the public are shit. They just are. So it's annoyed these people because they can see quite clearly that they are in the firing lines. I thought it got really it became quite empowering as it went along. And it's, you know, it is an amazingly distressing yet incredibly funny film. I thought Jennifer Lawrence has got praise for her performance. I thought she was a bit Jennifer Lawrence. It wasn't like... She didn't have as much to hang her hat on here. She's perfectly fine. But she didn't have as much to hang her hat on here as Leonardo DiCaprio. Probably yet another Oscar nomination for him. I'd be surprised if Jennifer Lawrence does. I thought perhaps Cate Blanchett was a standout female actor on the film. She's brilliant. Her character's amazing. And Mike Rylance as well could be in for a supporting one. He's terrifying as this sort of Steve Jobs, Elon Musk character. Who has an awful view of the world. But Leo's character has a lot more to... He goes through stages of being co-opted and then waking up again to what's going on. Brilliant, another brilliant performance in a career full of them. And I thought Adam McKay, I really like the fact that he has taken so many chances and ended up with the most watched film in Netflix history. Would it have got the viewership in the cinema? It would have probably done 50 million. Maybe Leo and Jennifer Lawrence would have dragged that north. We will never know. But given the subject matter and how difficult this film is, it's hard to see that it would be the biggest blockbuster of the year. Yet on home streaming, it may well be. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I think after The Big Short, the best film about the global financial crisis, Vice, another analogous film about the destruction of American democracy, beginning with Dick Cheney and George Bush, and then this about climate change. I think Adam McKay is the most important director in America today. I love him for his flaws. I really love this film. Even the end sequences and the title credits are brilliant. And it ends with one of the title credits has one of the great payoff jokes. They seed a joke halfway through the film and pay it off in the end credits, and it's quite brilliant. And it's you know, it's like a party at the end of the world. It's incredibly infuriating. It's incredibly accurate. It's not always successful, but it's so potent. It's so vivid. It reminded me a little bit of Cloud Atlas, a film that was really flawed, that was one of my films of the decade because it aims so high. And it achieves things which so many other films are too polite to do. So I'm going to give Don't Look Up a 9 out of 10. And that's not for near-perfect filmmaking. There's there's lots of elements that are probably not perfect filmmaking, but like a punk record, it gets the gist of it right, and it goes for the jugular. It doesn't let go. It spares no one, and I thought it was a wonderful film. So Don't Look Up, 9 out of 10.